leads us. You lead us, you guide us, and we thank you for that, Lord. And prepare our hearts to risk. Prepare our hearts to risk again. Oh Lord, prepare us all to risk again. Not just Greg, but everyone here. May we be riskers as we trust and taking simple steps of obedience. That you will lead us, Lord. That you will lead Greg and Andrea and Parker and Alicia. Hallelujah. Over to you.
Thank you, Deborah. The Lord is graciously helping us hold it together here. And I hope that keeps going at least for another half an hour or so. Thank you, Deborah, for your ever so gracious hosting. You're excellent at this, and well done to keep us and bring us to this point. Thanks, Monica and the team, for letting me jump in on the drum kit. It's one of those things, if you've been around, that's how I got involved in this church. Different building. You know, I showed up from Ontario. I thought I'd wear a suit to give honor to my heritage. I was born with a suit on back in Oakville, you know. They spanked me and put on the suit. And, you know, since moving to casual, laid-back Kitsilano, the suit goes in the back of the closet, except for, those of you that have had weddings or events like that, you know, we'll bring it out and dust it off. But I thought, hey, the last day, I'll break the Kitsilano code, put on the suit, live dangerously. Risk it, exactly. You're not going to fire me. Can't believe it. He wore a suit. What sort of... Oh, it's fun. It is. And we want to have a couple laughs here because there's a lot of stuff to truly enjoy. Hey, I mean, as we've had this journey together. But I wanted to especially thank the band, especially that rhythm section, Isaac and Zoli. That was cooking, guys. Come on. You know, to be able to have had the last service on the drum kit, that made me very, 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 very pleased to be able to help out, to lead the worship. And I also want to, of course, thank my folks not only for doing the hard work of bringing me into the world, especially my mom, but I want you folks to know, because a bunch of you will know my mom and dad, they fly today back to Africa for another building project. Yes, they're 75. I mean, why not, right? It's like the Rolling Stones, one more farewell tour, you know, just one, we got to go back to Africa one more time. And they'll be over for several months doing a project in Kisumu, and just pray for them if you think of them. Way to go. Hey, I'm so proud of them. So I'm a chip off the old block, as it were. I mean, I'm the son of a contractor, so I can't help but make sure that the physical space is taken care of. We haven't obsessed with it. You know, it's not like all we think about. But yet, this building is a gift. And one thing we found in this particular group of folks, there's many of you that can, and you can paint awesome paintings. You can program software that would baffle even the most brilliant academic mind. Like you can do stuff, but we need more people that can actually change a light bulb. You mean they need to be changed? Change the filters in the furnace. After a year of, everyone. It's like, oh yeah, the filters in the furnace. So there's a box of new filters up there. Someone, come on. But also wanting to, I'm going to speak to this in a moment, but we're not trying to have a blast to the past shrine here. I want to reference this stuff because as we were walking through the attic and the act of cleaning up your stuff and boxing books and stuff like that does stir up, of course, all sorts of reminiscing, and those were good days. But yes, there's more ahead. I just want to draw you over that way. And before jumping in here with that sense of a last word, and I really feel the Lord's put something on my heart to leave with you folks, but wanted to particularly thank the ones who've come back. Now, I'm not going to go row by row, name by name, but you know who you are. But in particular, really wanting to thank the Bryans for making the trip from Hope, BC. I mean, that's no small journey, and especially Pauline. Oh, you want to say? Well, you can. These are folks who've, like Pauline, who of you have been around long enough? You see, there we go, faithful people. Yes, there's much transience. Susan, maybe you can get the slideshow going. Pauline wants to say something, and she will not be denied. Yeah.
I just want to thank the Lord. We've said many times already this morning that He is in the midst and is here, and I want to thank Him. The way He's ministered to me through this body over the years, and we also sang, He gives and He takes away. He gave me my husband Michael, and He took Michael away, and you were there. You walked with me when there was pain and there was loss. And then He gave me Chris, and you were there. And you rejoiced with us when we got married. Chris is crying. And this man before you today figures so up there, and Andrea, because we did share a few firsts when the Lord brought Greg here. In my life, there were things that were going on, and Greg was being used, and you know, we've been so blessed to have this man, and I just praise the Lord for you, Greg.
Bless you. And again, just trying to keep us from the Kleenex box. Pauline was up hiking. She's a super, super duper, go for a hike, like to the ends of the mountaintop, touch it, come back down. Andrea and I were dating, but wasn't really publicly known. Like we hadn't quite crossed that threshold, you know, the public viewing. But we were, you know, we're dating, and Andrea's mom, Joan's here. Thanks for being here. Done a fine job. Yeah. So Andrea and I thought, hey, let's go up and hike at Mount Seymour. So we're hiking along, and we're holding hands. Like, you know, it's just one of those beautiful, picture-perfect days. And coming down from the mountaintop is Pauline with her little backpack and doing in her. And she went straight into us, and we're holding hands, and she stop. And her eyes were like just, it was the deer in the headlights. I saw that. And she was, Pauline, as you can see, is not at a loss for words. And she was so speechless. I could see her going, oh, that was so fun. And we laughed for the whole rest of the hike, thinking, oh, next Sunday morning is going to be so fun as. We are now discovered and going public. And living happily ever after, thank the Lord. But so there you go. It is, it's a real honor, of course, to have Ken and Brenda with us. They'll be sharing in a minute. And Dave, our assistant superintendent, is here with his daughter, Lauren. Hey, Lauren. Welcome to Point Grey. And Julie's busy with their home church. Couldn't be here, but really appreciate working with you folks, and look forward to whatever the Lord would put on your heart. Also wanting to point out near Dave is Hugh Hooper, our fine principal from Bayview School across the street, and the Lord did a wonderful thing. I mean, in 96, we bought this building, looked across the street, oh, there's a school. I guess we should have a ministry to the school. And a few years later, we heard the news that we have an actual Christian principal. And we're quick to meet him, and I will, as long as I live, never forget the times where you would come running in, say, you guys have to pray for me. You wouldn't break the confidence, you wouldn't, you know, but you'd be like, so would, if we happen, whoever happened to be here would lay on a hand, pray for you, and he'd run back to the school to, so the drive-through service is still available, you know, because we're in partnership together for the good of the community, and what a privilege. Over the years, there's been so many wonderful chances to bring this church to the table of the West Side Social Service Providers Network. It's actually a group that we helped start, you know, to bring the Kitsilano group and together with all the service providers, government, non-government agencies in the West Side. And more recently, and I'm sorry it's been more recently, but I got to know Taylor, who's from our Premier's office. The constituency office is just down the street, if you don't know that. And just truly delighted in getting to know you. The Premier took initiative, invited clergy from all the churches in the West Side to have a round table at the end of last year, which to me was striking because, you know, no one has ever done that. I can't say before, but it's been long enough. I've never heard of it. And so kudos to the Premier again. She's really trying to, you know, build that good together. And, you know, this is, I said to Taylor recently, you know, the Bible compels us to pray for those who the Lord has put in office ahead of us, right? Like that, this is our mandate. You know, we're not playing politics. We don't politic. But we pray. We pray for the Premier. We pray for you. We pray for the staff who are under a heavy burden. And I'm just so honored that you'd be here in person today representing not only the Premier, but yourself. Thanks for the partnership. And there are former staff members in the room. There are former all kinds of people in the room. But we all want to move ahead. You know, afterwards, let's hug and catch up. And I'm just so thankful that you've stepped back in the place here to share this last day together. Keeping it just before we get dialed in here, I do have not an ordinary slideshow. My family, were so blessed to have not an ordinary meal. Saturday a week ago, you folks put on the most beautiful farewell banquet. We're so thankful. Still got those buzzing feelings of great joy. But I thought, now I didn't take these pictures. I found them when I joined the church. And I've kept them for such a time as this. It's not a very long slideshow, but I thought that you would want to share the joy with me of God's transforming work. So, and some of you are glad maybe you missed photo day, but here we go, Susan. Who is that guy? Zoli! And then who's this couple? Arthur and Janice. Isn't this fun? And one last one, just for, because why not? Yeah. Yeah. I kept that one up my sleeve just in case. And that ends the not an ordinary slideshow, but there you go, yeah. So these artifacts, which we found in the attic this week, again, it's not, believe it, there's not like there's, you know, like the building's going to fall down because there's so many things. Like we really try to put stuff in place. We're not using stuff, we give it away. Yeah, we. But there are certain archived moments that we want to collect. And I wanted to bring them out this morning to remind us. You know, this is not to be nostalgic, but in the same way when the people of God passed over into the Promised Land, the Jordan River was opened miraculously, and they walked across, and the Lord said to them, each tribe, pick up a stone and bring it with you. Interesting. So as the people of God passed over into the Promised Land, each of the tribes picked up a ceremonial stone and then had a pile at Gilgal. And the word of the Lord was like this, that when your kids wonder, what do all these stones mean? Mommy, Daddy, what's with all the stones? You'll be able to tell them. This is the story of God's deliverance. God was with us back then. It really happened. The water did part. We really did walk across on dry land. don't ever forget it. So it's not, again, to be, you know, weepy and nostalgic. It's to say, you know, these are evidences. These are the sort of stones, as it were, of God's faithfulness. The artifacts that we admire or, dare we say, take for granted are the evidence of the faith of our predecessors. Today's courage to obey is tomorrow's evidence of God's faithfulness to others. I really strongly feel the Lord wanted you to know that and hear that, to be reminded. I know you know that. I feel that unction to say that, that today's courage to obey, because that's what we're doing, my family. We are saying, yes, Lord, that's your will. Is tomorrow's evidence of God's faithfulness for others. Rob Powell and others left the comfort of the Vancouver Christian Life Center and came all the way to Kitsilano and planted a church. God bless them. And those of you that were around here at the start or early on, God bless you for your faithfulness of staying around. Those who have gone out of this place to the ends of the earth, boy, the Lord has done a good thing. But I wanted to pause and to point out the building, the projects that we've done. And you can come up after and look. We dug out a couple of the reno plans. There's two renovations in this building. Why do one when you can do two, right? Trying to get the, because it's urban life. We want to get every inch out of this place. And maybe you'll renovate it again, because there could be a better way, right? But there's a progression of pictures there to remind you that what you see is not the way it's always been, because God is always about transforming everything, bringing everything into alignment with his will. And there's one moment where we were stripping away up here, and we came across the former church, Broadway, Collingwood West Baptist Church. They had this banner over the front. It said, "The Beauty of Holiness." It would kind of uncover that. It's, unfortunately, it was painted on and all kind of wrecked, but there's that moment of, man, people built this place for the glory of God, for the beauty of his holiness. And the beauty really is a lot to do with the people that gather, evidencing who God is and what transforming work that he's done. But just if you, you know, take a minute afterwards, go up, remind yourself, even for the first time, of the work that many people paid into and did in this building, especially that first transformation work where all kinds of people had crowbars, and WCB, thankfully, was somewhere else. And we were whacking at this building, doing the home renovation with the big family, and such good enduring work. That first project, that the poster, black and white with the nameless, that's the first worship CD that this church put out. It was around our 10th anniversary as a celebration. There's a copy of it there that we found that you can have a look at. You know, you might think, oh, isn't that nice, a worship CD. But people put it, the risk out there. I love that, Deborah, you spoke the word there of taking the risk. See, people took a risk and put their songs out there. What if you don't like it? Know that this is a place of safety to be yourself, to try stuff, to whether it's a spiritual gifting, artistic gifting, whatever sort of gifting, to be welcome, to be in this environment of safety, to try stuff. Making a CD is expensive. People stepped out and said, we need to do this, and it all came together. And that was followed by another one and another one. Like, each of these projects took risk, took faith, took money. People, like, even we took it the risk first and say, we'll just do it and we'll hope we can pay for it after. Everybody, please buy five. You know, but we need to do this. God is compelling us to do this. Let that continue. At one of the fine... We've got such a great district, the Pentecostal Sons of Canada district that made this church happen. Back in the original day, they called Rob to come in and replant the church and helped materially to make it happen. We had a retreat once, pastor board retreat, and Dave Wells, who was our superintendent then, gave us a table topic challenge. He asked this question to our board: when is your church at its best? Now, and gave us a few minutes to mull that over. So we'd come up with, like, not just a reflex answer, but the answer we had conviction about. And here's the answer that we felt conviction about. This church, Point Grey Community Church, this is before U-Town was started, before More Than 12 was started. We came to conviction that this church is at its best when we're taking a risk. That God has called us to take, not to be reckless, or, you know, like there's that kind of risk. Let's just be reckless. No, God called us to do something, so we're going to say yes, and it's going to be that we have to count on God to deliver because there's no backup plan. That's this church. In Acts chapter 11, there's, after persecution, there's the scattering of the persecuted. He go out about church planting. Hey, why not? As we're fleeing persecution, we need to share about this Jesus and talk about how we've been transformed. And then a whole bunch of people get transformed and join together, and it's called a church. They're first called Christians there in Antioch. And a couple chapters later, in chapter 13, in the church in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. It's full of the Holy Spirit. There's all sorts of gifting. There's Barnabas, Simeon, also called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, and Saul in the leadership. This is a multicultural church. This is a Gentile church. This is people from all over the place who've come into the message of God and received it. Well, they were worshiping the Lord and they were fasting. The Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work I've called them to do." So after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. That is a really crazy strategic plan. That's a bad strategic plan. Let's take the leaders and let's send them off. Nice young church plant. You know, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of green and everything's kind of funky and, you know, getting set up. But the Holy Spirit says, let's send out the leaders. And it wasn't just for a couple weeks. Like, they went for a while. And what happened is God blessed the church in Antioch by the act of sending. Antioch is an awesome church, and other churches were then planted. Ministry happened. The kingdom of God went forward because of the willingness of people to send their leaders in obedience to the Holy Spirit. You might call that taking a risk. And I love what God did then, and I love what God has done, and I love what God is doing. Yes, we celebrate God's work in this building that's been fixed up, transformed, but it's the work in the people, hey? You know, when I first moved in 94 from Ontario to here, I had to learn how to dress properly for Sunday, you know, leave the tie behind, put on a nice Gore-Tex and relax. I remember Andrea saying, man, the first few months you were so wound up, like, I had to, like, detox from Toronto, you know, it's like, after church, we're going for lunch. We're going for lunch. Who's going for lunch? Let's get a plan. Where's the team? Chill, relax, relax. This was a relatively homogeneous, monocultural group. It was largely young adult white kids. I used to say to people, yeah, we're all enthusiasm and no wisdom, you know? It's kind of true. And I welcome you to look around and remind yourself that this church has matured to being a multi-generational, multicultural group of people as family. Pinch me. Is not the Lord faithful? And this, you don't buy this from the Christian bookstore. You don't get this from going to the right conference. This is God's work. Yes, we prayed for it. Yes, we labored hard for it. But look at the good work, the beautiful work of God. We have sent countless people out in all sorts of vocations. The mission impulse is so strong in this church, including planting two churches in the last 6 years and living to tell and more. Like, the life is back. Like, the pulse is here. Like, there's joy in the house again. Praise God. The future is ahead of us, but we felt led of the Spirit to do these risky things rather than holding on and trying to enrich ourselves. We gave because the Holy Spirit said, give. And the God who sends is still at it, and I think that's part of our moving ahead. It's God saying, okay, you guys send out, because there's the next. So as I close, and I think I could go on for a long time, but I want to, because I want you to actually remember something, not just that Greg talked for a long time in a suit. Late last summer, as it was becoming increasingly real in my spirit that the Lord was up to something different, that there was a transition coming that I wasn't planning for, looking forward to, in the sense of anything other than God's strategic planning, was starting to be plainly evident in my heart. And I had that clear nudge from the Lord asking that question, if this is my last lap. And even as I thought that, what a bizarre, I've never thought that before. I've been here 17 years. Andrew's been here 21 years, 22. You missed the photo day. You're like, yes, I missed the photo day. Yeah. Praise God. I truly felt that compulsion of the Spirit to pay attention to the Lord, who wanted to make sure that in the last lap, I didn't know how long that would be, I didn't know what that meant, but in that last lap that we would do a few things. So we started in September last year with that challenge, that fourfold challenge. The first step took a lot longer than I thought, took all the way to Christmas, because I think the Lord really wanted to slow us down. And it was to attend to who God is, to walk deeply with God, to be reconnected with His heart. That took the whole fall season. I thought, you know, a month, that'll be good. Took the whole, right up to Christmas. Walk deeply with God, my brothers and sisters. In worship, in listening prayer, in attentiveness to God's word in your life, devotionally, as He would discipline, as He would correct, as He would guide, as He would bless, as He would empower. Walk deeply with God. He's the only source there is. He's got the only living water that there is. Many would want to imitate. There's only one wellspring, Jesus Christ. Secondly, so walk deeply. Secondly, walk closely with each other. I appreciate Deborah putting the call out. Come on, more groups. We need to break it down. It can't just be Sunday morning, you come, you say hi, you go home, you have nothing to do with anyone for the rest of the week. Take that step. Get involved in community life. Walk closely with each other. Mission groups, service groups, worship teams, children's ministry teams, all kinds of teams. Walk closely with each other. That's the way. It's been a real privilege to even expand that into with our Pentecostal clusters. We have clusters of pastors who gather regularly to encourage one another, to challenge one another, to be challenged. It's so privileged to be part of numerous cluster groups who've helped me in my development, my training, because boy, I needed a lot of it. You know, I didn't ever know that I'd be doing this. And remedial help is available. Thank the Lord. The Westside Pastors Group that we've been so privileged to be able to foster and then host for a number of years here. Every month, pastors from the Westside gathering to pray for each other. We'd close the door. Safe place. Say, well, who needs prayer? I mean, all kinds of different groups who typically wouldn't necessarily pull their desks edge to edge. Finding fellowship one with another, because everyone coming to a place, I need someone to pray for me. This is my day. We close the door. We pray for each other, for the breakthrough, for the empowering, for the faith, for the courage, for the wisdom to press on. Walk deeply, walk closely. Of course, it doesn't end just with us, because that would be sort of some sort of cultish, self-congratulatory kind of weird thing. God is the sending God, and God sends us to walk compassionately with our neighbor, our actual neighbor. If you've missed last Sunday, if you missed this last series, please go to the website and listen to the messages. There seemed to be a special grace of God on this series about hospitality. Last week, partnering with Karen Reed, and she was so on. Listen to that word. how to love your actual neighbor. That sense of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth as it scales out, as we're sent. I was challenged this week at my last section meeting as a lead pastor. Darcy McAllister was there, and he said, you know, I want to say from Living Waters Church, his home church, and then across the board, every church that commits itself to give to mission always grows. And he'd always heard that, and he thought, now as he and his wife were helping to replant the church, he thought, here's our chance to actually try it, a test kit. It was just a few people, the church was just little and not much money, and they thought, we need to really test this, so we're going to give to mission. And guess what has happened? Dave Solms, part of that church, has not only the church increased, has the budget increased, the mission budget increased, has everything increased. You guys helped plant a church or replant a church last year on Boundary Road because the increase keeps coming, because you can't get it wrong by giving away God's blessing, because that's his heart, to bless. Everything grows. So especially now, especially in transition, especially as you might be looking around going, what's next? I don't know. Don't hold back. Don't play it safe. I appreciate, Jeff, the way you prayed. Jeff is a church planter with Lillian and your kids and living on the edge of risk. I know that. We bless you. You said yes to God. We sent you. We back that up. Don't shrink back from these good ways of walking deeply, walking closely, walking compassionately, and then walking expectantly that God will multiply it all. God will multiply it all. Everything's about multiplication. Everything is supposed to multiply. It's God's will. If his kingdom is coming and his will is being done, things have to multiply. Don't try to hold it back. Don't try to manage it. Go forward. As I close, famous last words. That's what we've experienced, hey? So blessed. We've experienced in every possible way God doing this work. What a blessing. I felt when I got my first business card, it said pastor on it. I was like, that can't be right. How did that happen? I didn't go to Bible college. I didn't get all the credentials first, but God called. It was hair-raising. I knew it. It was affirmed. It was like, okay, here's the deal. I didn't expect this, but over the years, I have come, I want to say this. Lord, help me. I want to say this. I had no idea that when you have the honor of being a pastor, you get in your hand, like I didn't literally get this, but I realized that the Holy Spirit gives a backstage pass to people's lives. I've never experienced that before. I didn't know that such a thing existed. And we have sat with you. Some of you newer folks, not so much, but we would. But some of you that are coming back, you know, like we have sat together. And we have cried, and we have pondered, and we have cried out to God. And we've been through the valley of the shadow. And it's such a privilege. I had no idea the privilege it would be to be able to sit in that back. I like that picture that comes to mind. You know what? Does it work with it? The backstage pass. Not the well-managed or made up or whatever you need to do to make it through the day, front view, but to really get at the heart of things. Oh, what a privilege. I recognize absolutely I have made mistakes. I have totally not got it right all the time. I have just been human and found in need of a Savior. But I want to tell you, when I was charged to guard the doctrine and guard the flock, the best of my ability with my wife and my kids at the side. Thank you, hon. Thank you, kids. Thank you, Joan, for all the prayers. Thank you to the elders, the board, the staff members, some of them coming back. Oh, just so thankful. Tom, Nick, Jeff, in particular. Don't think I'm missing any former staff members, am I? Wendy, I'm sorry, Wendy, I'm getting dewy here. Yeah, Wendy. Can't see all the way to the back. Am I missing anyone else? I mean, it's just... So sorry. What a privilege to have shared the journey with you. I remember back to the board meetings where we'd order pizza at 7 o'clock. Pauline was there. If we finished at midnight, it was a good night. Remember those board meetings? We're a lot more, you know, snappy now. But yet still the same fellowship. I want to celebrate the unity. I've worked helping the district a bit here and there, and I've had shared the challenge of going to some churches that are having a hard time, right? Every time I'd come back, I'd say to the staff meeting, you guys, you have no idea how good unity is. Oh, we've had moments. We've had moments. But God has safeguarded this house with unity. And we don't want to look back and take it for granted, and we don't want to look ahead and take it for granted either, right? It takes work. But is not the Lord faithful? So walk, this is my charge to you all. Walk deeply with God. Walk deeply with God. Walk closely with each other. Walk compassionately with your actual neighbor. God will help you care, even if they're unlovely. And walk expectantly that God is going to multiply everything. My brothers, my sisters, please do these things. Thank you, each and every one, for your faithfulness, for your prayer, for your sacrifice, for your generosity, for the love, for the hard words of challenge, for everything. What an amazing experience. I think there's a mathematical equation. If you add those phrases together, this, walking this, 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 equals one joyful life. That's the way it works. Do those things. It equals joy. And that's the promise of Jesus, isn't it? Joy. So Ken, save me before I fall to pieces. Or Dave, I'm sorry, yeah, Dave. Come on up. Dave Soames, Assistant Superintendent. Okay.
Thank you, Pastor Greg. I've so appreciated, as you have, this opportunity to hear Pastor Greg share. I love the sparkle in his eyes. I love the posture. I love the tie. A little surprised, but I still love it. Pastor Greg, you speak with love and a great respect for this community. And it's so obvious that we're today in a room full of friends who highly regard this pastor and his family. Me as well. I just want to say thank you. I want to just acknowledge a few things today. Thank you, Pastor Greg and Andrea, for being obedient people. The word yes has come up a few times, and the word risk. I'm alerted to the word yes today. Thank you for saying yes. Not just to Jesus being your Lord, but Jesus being the leader of your life. Because you're an example of what it means to be a follower, a listening follower of Jesus. And a congregation, you benefited from it, a pastor who has a keen interest to listen and obey. And I know that that's the safest posture and place to be, to being a people, a leader who listens and obeys. And I just thank you so much for being those kind of people. I want to also say thank you for being leaders or pastor who says yes to family. You always speak with high regard and great love and affection when you make references to Andrea, to Parker and Alicia. And I've also loved these references and stories about the hockey rink, where you get to be incarnational and live with people. You've said yes to multiplication, and I think that's been alluded to a few times. That's the kingdom. Multiplication and kingdom goes hand in hand. And so we're in a room full of people that have bear witness to the realities of the blessing of multiplication. And Pastor Greg, you've led a strategic vision that's included multiplication of U-Town and more than 12, and you've opened your heart to the idea of Parker House, and way to go for that. And you've also, as you served on our district leadership team, you have waved the great flag of being a multiplying people and district family. And we're better because of that. And you've said yes to Vancouver. How interesting. You've lived here 17 years, Oakville to here. Two stories. We had a friend join us about a year ago, and Greg was kind enough to take us on a walk through Vancouver. And it was about a two-hour journey as we discussed history and people groups and the best coffee shops and the best place to eat. And I'm going, how does a guy from Oakville learn so much about Vancouver so quickly? It's because you love people. And that inspires me as well to live incarnationally. You've said yes to Vancouver, and way to go for that. You've also said yes to having a good cup of coffee. Hey? There's been a few occasions when we've been out that Greg disappears. And you're going, where'd Greg go? And he comes back with the best cup of coffee in town. Whether that's Quebec City or Winnipeg, and you've got other stories where we've sat and had a good cup of coffee. And, of course, it's not about the coffee. It's about the friendship, right? And conversations that, of course, gather around a good cup of bold coffee. But yet it leads to conversation, and it leads to sharing, and it leads to discussion. And it always led to prayer. Wherever that was, it leads to prayer. And so keep saying yes. And as a congregation, I do pray that you'd keep saying yes to being a multiplying family. Whether that is to love your neighbor, whether that is as a congregation to love a community. There's good days ahead, isn't there? There's good days ahead for those who listen and obey and serve strategically. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And so we receive that individually as families, and we receive that as a congregations here today, and as missional communities, we receive that today. There's good days ahead. And so let's drink coffee together. Let's serve incarnation. Let's love Vancouver. And I believe that God will receive the glory. We'll know the joy that flows from strategic ministry. And then this community will have an accurate witness of what it means to be Christ followers. It's great to be here today. This is a room full of healthy emotion. It's kind of happy, sad, eh? And it just keeps moving from the happy side to the sad side. But we're saying yes to Jesus. And that's the best room to be in, when you're a room full of people that are saying yes. So we look forward to all that God has for you. And we look forward to continuing on to journey with you as this community serves so strategically in these days in which we're serving together. So thanks for the chance to be here. God richly bless you. We're praying for you. We'll walk together with you. And if you ever get out to that little place in the valley called, you call it suburbia or something, like Langley, I think it's called. If you ever get out there, I'll find you a good place to have a cup of coffee. Thanks.
Good morning, friends. This will not be the third sermon you hear today. I'll be quick. I'm the closer, yeah. I had the great privilege just yesterday to leave Virginia Beach, the U.S., coming back from a meeting with our counterparts in the Assemblies of God, and I realized how big our Pentecostal family is. We were among some of the leaders there from the worldwide fellowship, Pentecostal fellowship, and the comment was made by Jack Hayford, a statesman of the Pentecostal faith, that in the world today, over 600 million people would call themselves Pentecostal, which was born out of a Pentecostal revival many, many years ago. And today we're part of that big family. And so what I wanted to leave with you, and I will be very brief, is the thought of family. When I was flying back on the plane, I asked God for a prophetic picture for today, for this morning. Now, I'm sure it wasn't the gravel or the Zyprocone sleeping pills, because I left at 3:46 in the morning. So I'm a bit jet-lagged this morning, but let me just say that I did receive a prophetic picture, and here's what it is. I'd like you to just close your eyes for a minute, okay? Just for a minute with me. And allow the Spirit to speak to you through this prophetic picture. In my time with the Lord on that plane, God showed me a tall ship. A tall ship with five masts and sails that were inflated. The ship was moving through some uncharted waters. Waters that were strange. This boat was filled with people, lovely people, hardworking people, people dedicated to one another in a sense of community. And the Lord would have said to me in that prophetic picture, look at who has his hand on the wheel. And when I glanced, I saw Jesus at the helm. I saw Jesus with his hand on the rudder. And the Lord would have said to me at that moment, I am directing this ship. I'm guiding this ship. And then as I asked the Lord to clarify that picture a little further, he said, now look up at the sails. And I looked up at the sails. And the Lord said to me, my Spirit is powering the ship, empowering the ship. My Spirit is driving the ship forward. You need not worry. You need not fear. Jesus is at the helm, and the Spirit is empowering the vessel. And I want you to know something about this great big Pentecostal family you belong to. That David and I and the rest of this Pentecostal leadership is committed to you. We're going to walk alongside of you. We're not going to jump ship. We're not going to let you wander in uncharted territory alone. Last year, we were able to help in 77 pastoral transitions in our district. The year before, 91 pastoral transitions. Now you think, that many? That includes children's pastors and associate pastors and Bible school staff, a lot of different transitions. And we want to come alongside of you and commit to you this, that with your eldership board, with your leadership board here in the church, we will come alongside and help you through the uncharted waters of transition. And we're going to get through this together as a family. And we're going to find God's perfect will and his perfect place for this vessel to go. So I know, Deborah, you're coming back to pray. And it would be a privilege, honestly be a privilege for Brenda and David and Lauren and I to lay hands on this great family with you and pray. I don't know if that was part of the program, but please accept our support and our love. Would you come, Pastor, family, Grandma, come on up. Why not? Friends, would you stand? I'm going to turn the mic to Deborah, and then we would just love to pray. Lay our hands. David, Lauren, Brenda, come on up. Elders, if you are here, leaders of the church, please come. Don't feel shy. Just come up and gather in behind them. Put your hands on them. Here you go.
Oh, thank you. Yes, thank you. I'd like to invite Jeff Wong and some of the former staff to come forward as well. Those of you who have invested in much time, and yes, the VIX, we have an incredible investment of faith, and brothers Tom, Jeff, that's great. Nick, amen. Karen, please come forward. Karen, I'd like my husband to come forward as well. Glenn Phillips, Chris, pastor from, has landed in our midst at a great time. These are the ones, and there are so many others. Just feel led to come forward, but we are so grateful, Lord. We're so grateful for the seeds that have been sown in our lives, in our hearts, and we thank you. We thank you that you do reign. You do reign. And every day when we stop and just dwell in your presence, everything just lifts. And Lord, everything changes for us when we stop and look to you. All of a sudden, there's this incredible sense of knowing in our hearts the next step. Because you speak to your people today, you speak to the hearts of your people today. And so, Lord, we command a blessing over this family. We agree together that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and that there will be surprises, there will be blessing, there will be new mountains to climb. New mountains to climb, and a new and enriched relationship with God through this next step. Take the risk and know that God is there. That God is there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Father. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
We love you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We love this family.
Yeah.
It's a special blessing for us.
Thank you.
deep unto deep. Yeah. God is calling this church into a deeper relationship with the Lord, a deeper intimacy. Just a continued circumcision of our hearts.
God, I thank you for that picture of the stones being laid by the Jordan River to tell the story of what has happened. And God, I pray particularly for this family, literally a family that was birthed in this place, from two young Kits residents who met each other and fell in love and had kids and have grown up and seen so much in this history of this place. God, I thank you that they are a part of that rich story that you have weaved in this neighborhood.
Yes.
And I thank you that as they are sent out, they are a kind of they have written something on a stone that says, "Yeah, we were a part of that." And there are many of us standing in this circle right now that can associate with that and know that. And there are many that aren't here that have been sent out from this place.
Yes, Lord.
And I do pray, God, that there would be that sense of foundation going forward from that place. It wouldn't be a sense of looking back in wistfulness of like, weren't those the good old days for these guys? But this would be a sense of a foundation for the next thing. God, you talk about living stones, and if we think about the stories that began from the miraculous entering of the promised land that Joshua and Caleb were literally risked everything for. And God, they risked it and they came back, and into that story soon came Jesus. Just a few centuries later. And God, and Jesus, you talk about the living stones.
Yeah.
You talk about the living stones. And it's not just a monument of things that are past, but it's the going forward. So we just pray that over this family, as we've prayed over so many in this very spot over the years. And may there be more and more stories of the sending out and the living stones of your kingdom, making a huge impact for your kingdom in this world, in this nation, in this city.
Thank you,
God,
Lord,
for your promises.
Thank
your promises,
Lord,
of yes. Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
God, in our society, people long to be famous. They long to be powerful. They long to be successful in all kinds of different ways. But for the follower of Christ, like the follower of Christ longs to be a servant of the Most High.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And when I think of a servant of the Most High, Lord, I think of Greg and Andrew and their ministry and their perseverance and faithfulness through so long.
Yes, sir.
Willingness to do anything for you. Just willingness.
Oh,
and Lord, for us that have been pastored and who are pastored by Greg, Lord, we want to be so much like him as he strives to be like your son.
Yes, Lord.
And for his faithfulness and Andrew's faithfulness and their kids' faithfulness, Lord, we just take you at your word. That we just believe it. That when we're faithful, you give us more.
Amen.
And us together, we're looking forward to the more that you are going to give them.
Yes.
And we do pray that it would be huge for them. Huge fruit, Lord. I just respect and admire and inspire and am inspired so much by the fruit that has come out of their ministry.
No.
But it's not over yet.
Yes, Lord.
There's so much more, and so Lord, we pray for that. Would you bless them 100 times more than they have blessed this community?
Yes. Hallelujah.
The hundreds of people that have come through here. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them, Lord.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you that this is a day of multiplication. Mm. This is not a day of loss. Mm. You're a God of addition.
Yes.
So we even thank you today that you are able to add to our lives additional things.
Yeah.
We thank you for the additional vision that will be granted to this community family in the days ahead.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for the additional vision that will be given to the Lang family in the days ahead.
Yes.
Lord, you're not a God that takes away, but you're a God who multiplies.
Amen.
We